Today on episode number 373 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/373, I have a phenomenal interview with Jason Hartman. Here's just a small clip. We always talk about podcast success stories. Check this out.
And it was because I was able to attribute and account for about $10 million gross, not net, gross, that came to my real estate companies over the years from podcasting. And I mean, just phenomenal. It's the way we get almost all of our business now. And it has just been a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I'm also going to talk to you about iHeartRadio. A couple things you need to know if you're going to be submitting your podcast to that. But phenomenal conversation with Jason Hartman coming up next. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting. My job is to eliminate your fear of starting a podcast because you are never alone when you're at the School of Podcasting.com when it comes to launching your successful podcast. We got everything you need out there. Step-by-step instructions, video tutorials, group coaching, one-on-one consulting, whatever you need. Check it out at schoolofpodcasting.com. On the show, if you're new, we talk about all things podcasting, like I said, from planning to promoting to recording, producing, and all points in between. I would love to have your smiling voice. Call me. It's 888-563-3228. You can also use the voicemail button out of the website. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or leave a comment out at the blog like John Parker from dancemusicconsultant.com says, Dave, please make it easy for us want to hear the Ask the Podcast show on Saturdays and post the link in your social media or on the site. It always takes me a while to find where I can actually hear it from your site, and I wind up listening to the SOP radio feed. I really enjoy the show, and thanks for doing this and the School of Podcasting. I listen every week. Well, John, thank you very much for asking about that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And let's chime in on that. We got this little tidbit on iHeartRadio, which ties into the Ask the Podcast Coach show. And this is from DJ City. Check it out.
Hi, Dave. This is DJ City from the Japan Experience Podcast. Hey, I just want to let you know that with this new that you're now on Spreaker and you're pushing your podcast through iHeartRadio, guess what?
What?
Only people in the U.S. get to hear you. No one else. Why?
Wow, did not know that.
Because iHeartRadio is not available outside of the USA. Oh, well, maybe I can download the podcast. Not true either. Speaker blocks all podcast catchers from getting your show. You are exclusively only on iHeartRadio. This means that we can only hear you on iHeartRadio if we're inside the US. Outside the US, yeah, we still can't hear you. But if I go to Spreaker.com, which I'm going to try in a few minutes and see if I can access your file there, I may be able to hear you. But it doesn't work with me traveling because if I'm on my phone, I won't be able to hear what you got to say because I'm at work. I don't have time to go on a speaker and sit there for half an hour and listen to you. That's what I love about you being on the, you know, Libsyn or whatever you're using, because then I can hear you wherever I go. So, you know, just thought I'd let you know what iHeartRadio does to podcasters when if they want to broadcast in the U.S., it works. If you want to broadcast outside the U.S., yeah, not working.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dave, just thought I'd let you know. Bye.
Thank you very much, my friend. I always appreciate anybody who's giving me constructive feedback. I love it. And DJ City did call back and said, hey, I can play things on, and it's a funny name. It's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. You can find it at schoolofpodcasting.com/Spreaker. And of course, everything I talk about today, you can find it at schoolofpodcasting.com/373. All right. Well, we're going to talk about RSS feeds. That means we got to put our geek hat on a second. And let's for those of you that are new to the show, here's what an RSS, this is the analogy I use. Here in Cleveland, one of the most popular stations is WMMS, home of the Buzzard, right? Where they play the same 20 songs over and over and over. they broadcast at 100.7. And you can think of your RSS feed, which is automatically created by a free program that I use called WordPress. So you don't have to worry about how do I create it. It just happens automatically. But that is kind of your broadcast channel, your RSS feed. So here's what I found out after digging around on Spreaker, and I finally found it in their support forums, that if you submit your podcast to iHeartRadio through Spreaker, which right now that is the only way to get your podcast on there, if they accept you, what they do is they take your RSS feed, your basic 100.7, right, the signal that you broadcast at, and they make it exclusive to iHeartRadio. They are the only ones that can listen to that automatic feed coming from Spreaker. Now, that does not mean you can't hear the show. DJ City did say if you went to the Spreaker website, you could click to listen there. Now, I always say this, make it super easy for your audience to consume it wherever they want it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take these episodes and I am going to put them on the School of Podcasting. So if you follow me on Twitter, you can go to, I'm at learntopodcast.com, and you can also sign up for our newsletter, and I will be announcing when this is there, and you'll hear it in the future. Originally, this whole live podcast was just a test, and we had a great episode last weekend. We were playing with the call-in stuff. I am going to do like an official follow-up on the call-in studio. We used it last week, and I want to use it just one more time before I kind of comment on that. Plus, we have an interview today that I want to get to, but I wanted everybody to know that what I'm going to do, it goes back to what I always say, have a self-hosted WordPress website that has your own feed, and then use a media host. Now, I'm going to try to use Spreaker as my media host, but between you and me, their stats are not, they're not, you know. And the other thing I need to let you know about iHeartRadio before you go, ooh, iHeartRadio, there's no way for me to tell if anybody is listening on iHeartRadio. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not appreciative to be on iHeartRadio, because after all, you get to watch a commercial before you consume my stuff. Yeah. So I was thinking about creating a special website for it. I think I'm just going to put it on the School of Podcasting, just again to get more Google juice. It'll be a separate feed. It'll be a separate podcast. And I know you might be thinking, why not just put it on this podcast? It's a half hour long. And if I just put it out as an episode, what I'm deathly afraid of is if you give your audience more content that they can consume. For instance, I'm subscribed to Entrepreneur on Fire with John Lee Dumas. He puts out a show every single day. And every time I go to listen to that, I can see where the podcasts app from Apple has turned off his feed because I haven't listened to the last, whatever, 3-5 episodes. Because I'm listening to other podcasts and I come over to listen. It's like, oh, I've got to turn that back on. So I'm afraid of giving you too much content. Plus, I'm already giving you an hour a week. So I'm going to put that out there and I'll keep you informed on that. But I want to let you know that iHeartRadio does kind of, they don't steal your feed, they just make it exclusive. And then if you want to have a feed go to iTunes, you've got to kind of set that up yourself. The other thing I'm going to mention here real quick, just an update on the School of Podcasting website. If you were around last week, you saw where the site was down for basically the better part of a day. And so I'm going to quickly say this. I used a plugin that was a premium plugin that doesn't automatically update like the rest of your typical plugins, and it became outdated. It left the door open for somebody to come in, and they hacked every single post and backup that I had, and I lost all of my content. Now, the good news is I didn't lose any of my membership site stuff, didn't lose any of my videos. I just lost every single post and every single page. The good news is my boys over at HostGator had my back and got me back up and running as quickly as possible. And I have seen where I was using Backup Buddy, and for whatever reason, I could blame the plugin. I'm going to blame me. Thought I had it set up to do what I wanted to do. But the kind of the problem with the School of Podcasting is there's so much content that sometimes things kind of get bogged down when they're trying to back up everything. So if you were on the website last week, My apologies, and I want to give a shout-out to all the members of the School of Podcasting for being uber patient while I got everything back up and running. We are back up and running. Things have been fixed, and that plugin has been removed. So keep that in mind. If you're using a premium, any kind of premium theme, premium plugin, and what had happened is the developer had emailed me to say it's time to upgrade a while ago, and it ended up in my junk folder. So if you buy a premium theme, a premium plugin, and if you're new to WordPress, a plugin is simply like adding air conditioning to your car. It's a way of adding additional functionality to your website. It's a little piece of software. And a theme is basically like putting clothes on your website. It's a way of dressing it up a little bit. And these are things you can add onto your website. And if it's premium, you want to make sure that you are well aware if those get updated. Don't want to, I introduce Jason here in a second. I just want to point out something that I thought was really cool about this episode, because you're going to hear Jason talk about his business before podcasting. You're going to talk about his business after podcasting. You're going to talk about what gear he's using. You're going to hear about how he used to promote his podcast and how he does it now and how it's benefiting. It's a little longer than usual episode, but here's the deal. About halfway through, you'll kind of hear where it went from an interviewer and a guest to just two guys talking about podcasting. And I went, you know what? This is pretty good stuff. I like it. This is stuff I think you're going to find useful. And especially if you're thinking of using podcasting for a business or if you're just starting a podcast, a lot of great information. Jason is a super nice, super great guy. He does 16 podcasts, and you'll hear about that in the interview. So keep your hands and arms inside the ride at all time as we get ready to hear my previously recorded interview with Jason Hartman. You can find him at jasonhartman.com and hartmanmediagroup.com. Here we go. Well, joining me via Skype is Jason Hartman. He is the founder and CEO of Platinum Properties Investor Network, as well as the Hartman Media Company and the Jason Hartman Foundation. Listen to this. This is amazing. Starting with very little, Jason, while still in college at the age of 19, I laugh about this because I have stepchildren who are 20, embarked on a career in real estate while brokering properties for clients. He was investing in his own portfolio along the way, and then through creativity, persistence, and this thing, it's called hard work. I don't know. Sometimes people get lost on that one. He soon joined the ranks of the top 1% of realtors in the U.S. and in quick succession earned a number of prestigious industry awards and became a young multimillionaire. Well, Jason, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Holy cow. So you were busy as a teenager.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Not a lot of video games, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I played some before that, but not too much afterwards. You know, there's a thing about once you make your life busy, there's just no going back. You know, it's
it is hard to turn that off. Well, so how many? I thought I had all your shows. There's the Creating Wealth show, which is I know you from the Speaking of Wealth show,
right.
But you also have Holistic Survival show, the Jet Setter show, Financial Freedom Report, AIPIS, which again is kind of a real estate thing as I was looking at it,
yeah.
The Speed of Money show, the Young Wealth show, Heroic Investing show, the Solomon Success show, which I thought was a really interesting slant, and then the Speaking of Wealth are the ones that I found, and you said you actually have 16, so I'm missing a few.
There are 16 total shows. You didn't mention Heroic Investing, the American Monetary Association, which is done under my foundation's moniker. I have a charitable foundation I opened when I sold my last company. And then another one that's a foundation show is called the Young Wealth Show. And the just not to get off on too much of a tangent,
no.
But the original mission of the foundation was to help teach young adults financial literacy, because I think, you know, that is so critically important. It's just not taught in school, maybe on purpose, you know, because the school is the point of school is to get you to work for somebody else rather than, you know, think as an independent person, right? You know, there are several shows, and it all started with the Creating Wealth show back in 2005. And I did that as a way to promote my real estate investment company. And it has just been a great ride. And that's why, you know, what you do in teaching people how to podcast is so valuable. It really is so valuable, because think of the time in which we live. I mean, what a great world it is in so many ways. I mean, there are a lot of problems too, you know, of course. But, right. You know, no longer does anybody listening to your show right now have to be chosen. They don't have to be vetted. They, if they think they've got something to say that is valuable to other human beings, they can just start a podcast, and maybe they'll have one listener, maybe they'll have 1,000, maybe they'll have 100,000, maybe they'll have 1 million. But they can start a podcast for very little money. I mean, it's almost free, okay?
Almost.
It's
$35 microphone to get you going really, really good.
It's incredibly cheap. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, they can get their message out to the world, whether it be a business that they want to promote, whether it be a cause they believe in, whether it be a political message. Whatever it is, you know, I mean, what an incredible time in which we live. Never before in history, David, have people had this opportunity. I'm sure you've got similar experience with your own podcast, but I'll tell you, my Creating Wealth show, which is my number one show, it's been around the longest, 8 years now. We have listeners in 154 countries last time I checked. We've got over 2 million downloads of the show so far. And you know what was just awesome? And I just checked this very recently, but about 3 weeks ago, I got back from Europe. Well, I guess it's a month ago now. I got back from Europe and I spent 3 weeks there, and I was traveling around to different countries, and I actually recorded a couple intros to my podcast from Europe, and those only took a few minutes. They were just sort of the intro portion. I had already pre-recorded a guest for that episode, and you know, gave a little report. I was in Croatia, I was in Iceland, et cetera, et cetera. Then I got home and I looked at the statistics of the show, and I posted this yesterday on my Facebook page. Well, it turns out that while I was gone vacationing, I did a little business there looking at some real estate opportunities and so forth, but also a lot of vacationing, 35,838 people listened to my show. And I thought, wow, what an amazing, amazing thing that is. You know, where here I was traveling around, I could be anywhere on the planet as long as I had an internet connection. I could publish more podcasts, and I could have this passive audience that is listening to me even if I'm not working. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah, nothing like sitting on the beach while, you know, everything carries on as normal. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know. I mean, they didn't even have to know I was gone.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's an incredible opportunity. It really is.
What was your business like before podcasting?
Well, that is a great question. So the podcasting started when I heard Leo Laporte on KFI Talk Radio. I was driving when I lived in Newport Beach, and I was driving on Jamboree Road, I'll never forget, and some guy called in to ask about podcasting. And I thought, oh, that must have something to do with an iPod podcasting, you know? Apple got kind of lucky that's right. The name it took on, you know? But it has nothing to do with Apple or iPods directly. It has a lot to do with it if you use iTunes. But anyway, so I heard him talk about this, and I basically, back then, my company was designed to help real estate investors purchase properties nationwide. And it was a really unique way of selling real estate. For 19 years before that, I had been in the traditional real estate business. I owned a real estate company that, you know, sold properties in Orange County, California, and I sold that company in 2005. I sold it to Coldwell Banker, and you know, that was a pretty difficult business. Frankly, it was very competitive, and very competitive, especially if you were an independent company, not affiliated with a franchise. And I wasn't; I was independent, and I sold to a big company, and you know, got a decent sized paycheck from selling it, but. Then I went into the investment only business, kind of a unique way of selling real estate, because I had a non-compete agreement which prohibited me from selling real estate locally for only 1 year. It wasn't very restrictive. But I wasn't really interested in the traditional real estate business. I wanted to help investors invest in a diversified way. California was way too expensive, still is too expensive. It doesn't make sense for investment. And the way I got clients is we would hold live seminars. And, you know, live seminars are fun. I mean, you know, most people who do public speaking get a real charge out of it. And, you know, they love to do it. And I love to do it, too. But the problem was, it's not very duplicatable. You know, you've got to show up there in person. And, you know, you've got to fill the room of people. And you've got to get your audience there. And, you know, that was pretty hard work. Okay, you know, and we did several seminars a month and got a lot of business from it. It was great. And we used to advertise on talk radio. It was very expensive. At one time or another, we spent about $250,000 a year advertising on the talk radio stations. And I had a little paid radio show as well for a half hour every Saturday on KRLA, which is a Los Angeles area talk radio station. And, you know, I paid for it. I had to pay to be on the radio for the show. And you know, it was okay. But the world of podcasting, David, it opened up a whole new wonderful world where we don't advertise anymore at all. We really don't spend any money advertising now. You know, maybe a little bit here and there. The business really comes from the podcasting. And the great thing about it is that the business you get is business that finds you. You know, it's kind of like the Seth Godin philosophy of interruption marketing, which was his first book, I think, was about this. And Seth Godin used to work for Yahoo as the chief marketing officer in the olden days of the internet in the, you know, I guess the 90s, late 90s probably. And, you know, most advertising and marketing is like interruption marketing. You know, there's a commercial on the radio, a commercial on TV, and the person listening, you know, may not have any interest whatsoever. But with podcasting, it's very organic. With podcasting, people need to find us most of the time. Now, granted, you can advertise your podcast and help people find you. But most podcasters, yeah, I think you'd probably agree, are found. They don't go out and interrupt potential consumers and say, hey, listen to my show. Most people find them. Would you agree with that, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's that, or they were referred to by a friend, or they heard somebody on a podcast. So it's right. A lot of word of mouth I'll hear somebody interviewed on a podcast and they'll go, I'll have to go check out his stuff.
Right. So the beauty of it is when people find us as podcasters, they've already selected themselves. It's a self-selection process. So you have a much better qualified lead right there, don't you? And so that's the first part. And then the second part that's just beautiful is you have this long-form education where you really get to explain your methodology, your philosophy, the way to engage with your company in advance of spending any real time with that prospective client. And I just love that part of it because I remember one of my investment counselors called me, and this was maybe when my podcast was only about, 30 or 40 episodes old. Now we've got about 300. I think we're at episode 336 for the most popular show, The Creating Wealth Show. And, I remember he called me up and said this to me, and he said, you know, Jason, a client called me and was asking about one of our markets, and I think it was Dallas, Texas at the time, or Houston, Texas, and, you know, we had properties there for sale, and the investment counselor, you know, started to go into his whole spiel explaining the benefits of that market and why people should invest there and so forth. And the client said, or the prospective client said, hey, wait, stop. You don't need to explain this to me. I heard it on the podcast. I already know. And what a time saver it is if all of our prospective clients come to us already educated.
Yeah.
An educated client is the easiest client to work with. They're already educated. They're already convinced. You don't have to do any selling. It's a very educational and editorial style of relationship. And I absolutely love that. Looking back, I don't know how we ever did it the old way. This is much better.
Life without cold calling.
Yeah, no cold calling idea. At all. Yeah. People find us. They self-select. They raise their hand. They come to us. And they not only come to us, but they come to us educated and convinced in advance, pre-qualified.
Gotta love that.
You love now, it. Yeah.
What about the business person that says, well, how do you create a podcast about your subject without giving away the store?
Well, first of all, I would suggest that you not worry about being selfish and not giving away the store. We withhold almost nothing on the podcast, okay? We pretty much tell people the whole thing, okay? Some podcasters, you know, they just do a little tease and hope people will be interested. And if you can pull that off, hey, more power to you. Maybe I'm just not that good or I don't spend enough time figuring out what to say and what not to say. I just kind of tell them everything pretty much. And I think that earns a lot of trust. And, you know, that's the way I approach it. You know, in the world of information, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. 1 + 1 could equal 11. You know, 2 1s together, right? 1 + 1, 11, right? Information is very powerful. I mean, David, you can have all of the information I have, and it doesn't cost me anything for you to have all that information. It's not like me giving you all my money, okay? The information is frictionless and valuable to multiple people at the same time. And giving it away doesn't necessarily imply a cost to the giver. It's the beautiful thing about the information age. And I just think that if you share things and you don't withhold, and you just, I think people can tell. I think it brings into your life the law of tenfold returns, that old biblical law about sowing and reaping. You know, you just give, 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 and you have to have the confidence and the abundance mentality that it will come back to you.
Absolutely. You have 16 shows. I got to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Most of the ones that, because I went through and I started like listening to these, are these all done by you?
Yes.
Because that's what I'm like going, he can't be doing all 16 shows. I'm like, nope, that's him too.
I'm doing all of them. But I will tell you that, you know, there is a technique to the 16 shows.
Okay.
The first thing I must say is that I'm not recommending this necessarily that people do that. You know, I'm like a lot of entrepreneurs. I got a ton of ideas and a lot of things never really come to a boil. Okay. Most podcasters just have one great show. But my thinking was, you know, we had all this success with our first show, the Creating Wealth Show. Why not duplicate that and why not go into some other markets? And you know, one of the great things about it, David, and you know this all too well from all the students that you teach to podcast and your own experience as a podcaster, you can learn so much from interviewing all these great guests. You don't usually have access to all of the thought leaders in any given field unless you are part of the media. When you're a podcaster, you're part of the media. Mm-hmm. So instead of calling up a thought leader that maybe you followed, maybe you've read their books or followed their podcast or purchased their home study course, whatever it is, instead of calling them up and say, hey, can you give me some advice? Now you call them up and say, hey, I'd like to give you an opportunity to have more exposure for your business. And you're a member of the media, right? So you're giving them an opportunity. And by giving them that opportunity, you can also pick their brain a little bit. And you can get to know them and you can become friends with them and you can network with them and develop a relationship with them. So there are some huge, huge benefits.
Absolutely. I just had somebody last week. He's from Australia. He does a podcast about American, basically about the NBA and not just the NBA, the NBA during the Michael Jordan era. And he sent me a voicemail saying, "Hey, Dave, got to let you know, I'm getting to interview all these guys I grew up watching on TV, and I can't believe that, you know, they're coming on my show." So it's, again, it's because you're the media.
Yeah, right, right. And if he plays his cards right, he might get Michael Jordan on the show.
You never know.
It'd be awesome. Hey, I've had three presidential candidates on my show. Most recently, Steve Forbes. Okay. Wow. So, you know, you can get access to people that you just normally would not have access to.
Well, with 16 shows, what is your workflow?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. And so, first of all, some of the shows are, you know, they're kind of sitting on the back burner and they're not really percolating, to be very frank with you. And I my goal is to get them to percolate. but one of the things I do is I set up the show, and so I have a professionally narrated intro. Mm-hmm. And that's just used over and over. So when you go around and listen, you'll hear a voiceover, a narrator person with some music in the background do an intro. And then for what I call the secondary shows, I record a generic intro myself. Mm-hmm. And I just say, "Hi, this is Jason Hartman. Thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Survival Show, or the Speaking of Wealth Show, or the Heroic Investing Show, or whatever the show is." And so I record that generic intro, and the editor, now I don't do my own audio editing. I don't know how to do that. So I do hire someone for that. So that takes some of the workload off of me. But I do all the recording. And so all he does is he lays down the music, professionally narrated intro, and then my personal intro that is generic, used over and over, and then the segment with the guest. And the guest segments, I record all of those myself, and some of them have crossover. So occasionally, not very much, but a little bit, I'll use the same guest on multiple shows. Hmm. And say it's Jim Rogers, who's been on the show twice. He's pretty famous guy. So I can use Jim Rogers' interview on the Creating Wealth show, the American Monetary Association show, and also on potentially the Holistic Survival show, if it's got a sort of a doom and gloom angle, because frankly, that's what that show's about, survival, how to survive bad economic times. And there are multiple uses. So some guests do have crossover.
Where did you find your audio editor?
The audio editor that I use now is actually one of my investment counselors that works for my real estate company. And he just happened to go to audio engineering school for a year. I have also hired many of them that I've had, over the years on Craigslist. And I will just pay them in this format, by the way. We'll agree in advance that there will be a ratio of editing time to final audio output time. And what I mean by that is that if the show is 1 hour long, then I will pay them up to 3 hours of time to edit and make a final 1 hour show. Because you don't want to make this a blank check, you know, where they bill you for 10 hours to make a 1 hour show. You've got to agree with them in advance that there is a cap. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I will say that it never seems to come in too much lower than the 3-to-1 ratio. But at least I've got some reins on it, right? I'm controlling my expenses there.
I see. Okay. Well, you mentioned how podcasting has boosted your business. Any ideas if you had to put like a dollar amount or a percentage of growth, or how much would you say, you know, podcasting has been influencing your business?
Well, about a year ago, I decided to start working on an info product called the $10 Million Podcast System. And it was because I was able to attribute and account for about $10 million gross, not net, gross, that came to my real estate companies over the years from podcasting. And I mean, just phenomenal. It's the way we get almost all of our business now. And it has just been a beautiful thing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, people talk about like Adam Carolla. He's probably the world's most successful podcaster. But I don't know. I bet you if in dollar revenue, I'm up there pretty high probably.
I bet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you've been doing this since 2005. If you had to start this over again, any lessons learned along the way?
Yeah, one lesson that I wish I had known about or taken advantage of way back then. I'm not even sure how they did it. But as I've interviewed a few experts on my Speaking of Wealth show, like yourself, one of the things they've told me is that when they started their podcast, they were listed in the iTunes section called New and Notable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think iTunes only lists you there for like 8 weeks or something, maybe 4 weeks. I'm not sure.
Right.
But that is super important. That is one thing I have never taken advantage of, is really coming. And the lesson there is come out of the gate strong, okay? Record episodes in advance before you launch the podcast so that you're publishing on a regular basis. Now, I don't know the algorithm, and it's probably a secret, as so many things with Apple are.
Right,
and iTunes is one of our, you know, our main distribution sources for podcasters. But I would venture to guess, and I'm, you know, you probably have some comment on this, that iTunes algorithm, because iTunes is a search engine.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we want to optimize our websites for Google and Bing and those search engines, well, we want to optimize our podcast content for iTunes. And I would venture to say that if you are publishing on a regular basis, that iTunes ranks you more highly when someone types in the words real estate investing, you will come up, you know, toward the top more if you have more subscribers, if you publish regularly, et cetera, and do all the right things.
Yeah, there's all those, how many comments you get, and, mm-hmm. You know, and then from what I understand, it's really, they really rank things in the title of your podcast. So I'm seeing a lot of people now are stuffing keywords in their title to be like, you know, the Jim Smith podcast, and then it'll be like, you know, keyword, comma, keyword, comma, keyword, which doesn't really make much sense, but they're just trying to get to the top there. So
they're appealing to a search engine, not the reader.
Exactly.
Yeah. What do you think about the actual show notes section? Because we've always been pretty diligent about writing fairly long, detailed show notes. Do you think that helps at all, or is it just the title?
Well, obviously the title is going to help. Show notes, I don't think help so much in iTunes, but it does in Google. So that's where Google's going to find that more. So I always tell people, I forget where I heard it, but something like you need at least 300 words to kind of get Google's attention. I forget where I read that. So I usually, the great thing is that in WordPress, as you're typing, it gives you a word count in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. So I usually type along. And I was just – the other thing I do, I have my my show notes set up to go through AWeber as a newsletter. So I actually type my notes now as it's a newsletter, which usually makes it fairly long anyway. And I've had people say, well, that means I almost don't need to listen to your podcast. I can just read the notes and get the same information. I'm like, hey, however you want the information. If I'm helping you, if you want to read it, read it. If you want to listen to it, listen to it. As long as I'm helping you, that's kind of my goal here. So, you know, and if it gets me more Google juice, then by all means, you know, that's never a bad thing. So,
Right. And do you have all your podcasts transcribed? I do that.
You know, I tried that once. And I spent more time going through the transcription because the way I speak is not the way I write.
Right.
And so I had to spend so much time going back through the transcription to kind of put it into more of a writing style that I went, you know what, for me, I'm not the world's greatest typist. I'll be the first to, you know, I'm sometimes referred to as the typo king. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I can write it just as fast as I would as if I was trying to fix the transcription. But it definitely is something I've looked into, and the couple times I've experimented with it, I did see a small spike in those episodes. So it's definitely something worth looking into.
Yeah. Now, just I'll make a comment on that. We don't proofread our transcripts. We have them transcribed by a transcriptionist, and whenever we do look at them, we do notice mistakes for sure, and they're not very readable because nobody talks the way they write. I haven't quite figured out the difference between that, but it's definitely different. I think we can all agree on that. And we don't try to make them readable for a person necessarily. We try to make them readable for a search engine. And if there are words in there and we say things in the podcast, those are searchable, and that's what we want. So I'm not sure I'm doing it right, but that's what we do. We do pay for transcription because we think it helps for search results.
So in the show notes then, is it just click here to get a PDF of the...
No, we just put them on the blog section of my website.
Got it.
Yeah, so if it's for the Creating Wealth show, the transcripts will be on jasonhartman.com. If it's for the Speaking of Wealth show, they'll be on speakingofwealth.com, just interspersed among other blogs on other subjects.
Got it. Well, I guess we probably should talk a little bit about your gear. Do you know
sure.
What are you using for in terms of a microphone and recording all your Skype calls? And
oh, yeah. So this has gotten a lot less expensive and a lot less involved over the years. I use Skype, and I use Call Recorder, which is $20, and you can just look that up online. Right. And then I use, and don't hate me for this, because you probably use something a lot better, but I use a $55 iRig microphone.
Nah.
And the reason I like the iRig is because it's a cheap microphone. It's not a pro grade microphone, and it's not even USB. It plugs into the headset jack of my MacBook Pro. The thing I like about it is it's got three different settings for noise cancellation.
Ah.
So I am recording in my house. I live in a penthouse in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's a big room with a lot of glass. And so that's not good for audio, yeah. Right? And if you're talking to me in this room, and how I can hear myself in this room is it's got a decent echo, which is terrible. You don't want that.
Right.
But I would bet you that the sound that you hear, you don't hear that echo. I may be wrong, but I don't think you do.
No, I don't at this point. So very
that's,
cool.
It's good. Yeah.
Hey, it's and in the end, I always tell people you have to achieve listenable content.
Right.
You know, it's like, yes, you can spend a gazillion dollars, but I'm right now talking into a $35 microphone, which is sitting right next to a $300 microphone. Uh-huh. And I always tell people, is there a difference between the $35 microphone and the $300? Yes. Now, is there a $250 difference?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So,
what kind of $35 microphone do you have? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the best. I recommend it to everybody.
Audio Technica
2100. The thing I love about it, it's USB. So right now I'm just plugged into the USB, but it also has an XLR output. So I can plug it into my mixer if I've got other things going. If I'm doing a podcast with my wife or something like that and I need to use a mixer, I can just go that route. And then, I what I'm doing is I'm running the headphone jack out of the microphone into the input of my portable recorder,
right.
and then my headphones go into that, and then I'm recording it with another program called Power Grammo on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I've got a backup in the event something goes horribly wrong.
That's a good idea. And I use Dropbox. Once I record the show, yep. I take that audio file, that MP3, and I just put it in the Dropbox, and that's where the editor gets it from, the Dropbox account. And I do pay for a paid Dropbox account. I pay $99 a year. So that's no big deal. And, you know, the one thing I do pay for, I have fairly cheap equipment now, but I do pay for the audio editing and post-production.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that myself. I would love to know how to do it because I think I could be a lot faster at publishing shows, but I pay someone to do it.
There you go. And then are you using Libsyn, or who are you using for your media host?
Well, for many years, until just recently, we used Amazon's S3, which is great. It's the most powerful server platform on earth, they say, or at least the most powerful one I can use and you can use.
Right.
Maybe Google has a more powerful one, but that's not for us to use for this purpose. And we really liked it and had great success with it. And we recently converted to Libsyn because it's got some of the features. Yeah, Libsyn is considerably more expensive, but still not that expensive in the overall scheme of things. With what you can do, Libsyn has some great features in terms of statistics, and you know, they have some nice features.
Now, are you using the Libsyn Pro or just the
Libsyn Pro?
Okay, yeah.
Because I have multiple shows, so we basically are considered a network, a podcast network,
right?
And so I can add shows. I can have different levels of access for people to go in and, you know, and do different things and not mess up other things.
Right. So, plus, you have the ability to insert any advertising in there you want. And
right. They have a really cool stitching technology, and they do charge extra for it. But we have not used that yet, but we really should be.
Yeah. So any advice for people thinking of starting a podcast?
Well, I am going to use a well-worn cliche that you have all heard to answer that question, and it is, just do it.
Mm.
That's what Nike would say, right? And you know, look, you don't have to figure out everything before you do it. Just start. And, you know, there's great resources out there that you offer with the School of Podcasting. There's a lot of help everywhere you look. I mean, you know, and it's not real expensive help. I mean, you know, you offer great resources on your show and in teaching people how to do it. And there's just a lot of great stuff out there. So just get started and, you know, learn about it a little bit before you start and then learn the rest as you go.
There you go. Well, if you want to check out Jason's stuff, if you go to jasonhartman.com, man, do you have a lot of products. I'm sitting here looking at your Creating Wealth in Today's Economy home study course. Mm-hmm. And I see now where you've gone from CDs, which it looks like you can still do, or your DVDs, but you can also now have a digital download, which I would think you got to love instead of the old days of having to ship everything out and things of that nature.
It's much better, much better. Easier to listen to, easier for the listener too, if they're, you know, hopefully everybody listening has converted their whole life to digital downloadable type content, you know, with iTunes, whether it be music or podcast, and you know, audiobooks from Audible and iTunes, and you know, that's the way to go. It's just much easier to deal with for both parties when it's digital download.
Are you doing anything to track your like influence from the, like, are there any coupons or anything that you're doing that you go, okay, I know that I got this sale because of the podcast?
Yeah, we do contests and promotions, and sometimes I'll take one of my educational products and do like a big sale on it. And, you know, I can kind of tell who's listening by who takes advantage of that sale. I might give out a promo code on the air on the podcast that they won't know any other way. They'd have to be listening to get it.
So there's jasonhartman.com and then hartmanmedia.com. Any other websites we should be promoting?
You know, I've got a website for each and every show, and, you know, that's what we do. But, you know, I, most people that are looking for me, if they want to listen to one of the shows, I say go to the iTunes store and search Jason Hartman. And everything will come up.
There you go. And get all 16 different listings.
Wow. There you go. Fill up your subscription basket. It's all free, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, hey, David, I want to ask you about something.
Sure.
We may have talked about this when I interviewed you on my show, but what are your thoughts on podcast advertising? You know, you've probably talked on your show about this before, and I'm not really asking that question as a podcaster wanting to get more advertisers, which I don't really have outside advertisers. I've never really tried to get them. Mm-hmm. So that's never been a goal. We monetize the show directly by getting clients.
Right.
You know, I would like to advertise on other people's podcasts. And here's my thinking behind that. If you already know what a podcast is and you know how to access a podcast, that's the best person to advertise your podcast to, because you don't have to explain anything to them. They know how to get a podcast. They know what a podcast is. They like the medium already. Whereas if you go advertise in print or on talk radio, a lot of those people, you know, they're like, what's a podcast? people even today in 2013 say that occasionally.
Right.
Kind of blows my mind. And then if they know what a podcast is, they just don't know how to access it, or that's just not the world in which they live. And so, you know, as a podcaster, I want to get more listeners, and I want to advertise my shows on other people's podcasts and pay them for that. So, you know, if any of your listeners are interested in monetizing their podcast, one way to do it is to get advertisers. And, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on podcast advertising, maybe the future of it. Any thoughts you have?
Well, the one thing that we're kind of battling is people are bringing in the way they bought radio into podcasting. So everybody wants to pay, you know, the CPM model, or the price per thousand downloads. And it's interesting. That's, on one hand, that's great because you're making money from your podcast. The bad news is, you know, the average podcaster may have, I don't know, 300 downloads an episode, something like that, if it's a really super niche and maybe they just started. And it's weird because when podcasting first came out, everybody was like, I'm going to quit my day job. And you're like, okay, that's maybe a little ambitious, you know, but that's still stuck in a lot of people's head. And so, okay, I got my 300 downloads. I got, you know, whatever, $15 per thousand downloads. That means for the month, I'm going to make like $16.50 or something like that.
Right,
And people go, well, you know, that won't buy a box of, you know, mac and cheese maybe or something.
I know.
That.
If you advertise, you know, some of the big companies that have really caught on to podcast advertising are Audible, the audiobook mm-hmm. company. And I like Audible as a consumer, and I sell some of my audio products on Audible too, and go to my PC, I think. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, some of the webinar companies are doing it too, but they don't pay you very much. You know, that's not really the type of advertising you want as a podcaster, is it?
No, and it's one of those things where I always tell people, don't underestimate, you know, the power of your niche or your niche, depending on where you're living.
Right.
You know, and so I had a friend of mine that did the Sled Dog podcast. Well, that was something, being from Ohio, I don't do any sled. You know, you're in California and you're not doing any sled dog racing. But the people that found that show were like, oh, my gosh, this is what I've been looking for.
Right.
You know, so that's where I'm like, you know, try to come up with maybe a, you know, what you would feel comfortable with on a per episode. And then, you know, maybe make it it's this per episode, and then X amount of episodes per month you need to buy in advance. And then you can do the old kind of sales. I hate to call it a trick because that sounds underhanded, but you can say, you know, here's how much to advertise in the podcast. Here's how much to advertise on the website, and here's how much to advertise in the newsletter. But we have this special bundled package you can get in the newsletter and on the website, you know, in the show notes and on the podcast, and here's what you get kind of thing, and try to show the value that way. It's going to be interesting to see, because it is kind of, you know, there are companies coming on now like Podcast One, which is the guy from Westwood One who's behind that.
Right.
And so it's interesting that the advertisers are finally coming this way. It's going to be interesting to now see, you know, where we're going to meet in the middle in terms of what kind of value, what kind of dollar we can get for that, and if we're ever going to get away from the CPM model.
The thing that podcasters really have to realize is that you don't need very many listeners. Okay, you know, if, like you gave the example of 300 downloads, that's a gold mine. You can make a fortune with 300 people listening to your show every week, you know, and it's not that you're going to sell advertising to some, you know, to Johnson & Johnson, okay? Right. You know, what you're going to do is you're going to maybe you're promoting your business and you're going to gain customers or clients. But also, if you look in your own industry and you look at the people that want to meet this exact, very targeted, what's called the long tail niche or niche, depending on how you say it, like you said, of people, you know, they're incredibly valuable because they can get right to those people that are interested in a very narrow, very specific type of product or service, you know, sled dog lessons, right? Or whatever, you know, in your example. And, you know, I got a new puppy back in December, and, you know, I'd never had a puppy before. All the dogs I had before were grown, you know, adult dogs, and they didn't need much training. And this puppy was just a nightmare for a little while. you know, so I looked up dog training podcasts, and there's this one called Learburg. And I tell you, I learned a ton of stuff about dog training from listening to the Learburg podcast. And I have never talked to that guy, but I would venture to guess, because I have become a customer and purchased some products that they sell, they've got a giant website. And talk about, you know, that's pretty specialized. And you know, they can sell their own products on there. They can sell other people's products that are, you know, very narrowly focused. And there's a lot of opportunity there, I think, for podcasters to look at the narrowly focused things that relate directly to what their listeners need.
Absolutely. And part of that is knowing your audience. I do a podcast about my weight loss struggles called the Logical Weight Loss Podcast. And for a year, I thought I was going to be smart. I was going to piggyback on Chuck Norris and Christy Brinkley because the Total Gym had an affiliate program. And I promoted it for a year. I had one. So I was talking about from my own personal experience. And after a year, I finally sold one. I made $75 in commission and was like, woohoo. Well, yeah. Then I found these things called Fit Deck cards. They're $15 as opposed to hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. I made $1.50 a deck. And I was getting three-figure checks every month because I went out and purchased the product so I could talk about it firsthand.
Right.
I liked it. And I was explaining to people that, hey, you can actually, you know, you can play like a game. You can make up your own games because it was a deck of cards. And you'd be like, right, okay, here, do 13 push-ups and now you do 7, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you could play it with your kids. And my audience for that particular podcast is there are a lot of women that are, you know, stay-at-home moms, or they're working moms and they have kids, and you know, everybody's busy, so they just needed something quick and easy and fun that they wanted to do to break up the monotony of exercise. So I found it, started promoting it on my podcast, and next thing I know, I'm just getting checked. Every day I would get emails. You've earned a commission. And it was something ridiculous. Like, you know, you earned $3.50 commission on this sale. But when you'd get like 7 of those a day, you're like, well, okay, I found something that works for my audience. So it's a matter of matching your audience with the right product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. It's great. Podcasting is the way, you know, it's the ultimate democracy. It's the way the little guy can have a voice. And I just, you know, what you're doing is so valuable because there's so many people out there who need to get into this.
Absolutely.
It's a great thing.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for your time. Again, everybody, you can go check out Jason at jasonhartman.com. I'll have links to everything we talk about today in the show notes. You can also find a lot of his stuff over at hartmanmedia.com. But thank you so much for your time and continued success with everything you do.
Likewise, David. Thank you.
Stuff. Great insights. Wonderful guy. Check him out. JasonHartman.com, HartmanMediaGroup.com. And that is going to do it for this episode of the School of Podcasting. If you are looking to start a podcast, look, I can't say this enough. There's one place on the internet that has updated information. I'm not going to steer you in the wrong direction. I'm not going to have you spending thousands of dollars on stuff you just don't need. It's SchoolOfPodcasting.com. You can take the self-paced course with videos. You can sign up for group coaching. The next group coaching class, I haven't set a date for that, but I'll keep you posted on that. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at learntopodcast.com or sign up for our newsletter, and I will update that as well. And if you want just one-on-one consulting, I do that as well. That's all out there at schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to be on the show, I would love to hear from you. My email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Voicemail is 888-563-3228, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. You can also use the microphone button out at the website. If you got if you're on an iPad or something with a microphone, just click on that and you can leave a message that way, like our friends did. And or you can just leave a comment on the blog. Thanks to everyone who chimed in on this show. We'll be back next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. I'll be talking about me using Call in Studio. I'll tell you about how I'm adding an additional podcast to the same website as I get ready to add the podcast show to this website, and anything else you want to talk about. Again, contact me and we'll make it happen. So thank you so much for listening. Let me remind you that it is time to start living a life worth podcasting about, and I will see you next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting Morning Announcements. Until then, class is dismissed. Thank you so much, and God bless.